Welcome. This is the Bring Him Intimacy Back show, and I am the host, Dr. April. And on this show here, we talk about how people get connected intimately with significant others, with families, friends, business, children, and that is what our show is focused on. Today, we have a very, very special topic that we're doing, and we're talking about infertility. How to create and maintain intimacy during the infertility journey. And for many couples, this is a journey that is difficult for them. And so what I've been blessed today is to have experts here on the show. They're from the Atlanta Fertility Support Alliance. And I have here with me Trisha. And then Sheba. You both are counselors who are working in the area and doing different stuff. So can you please tell us about your background?
Sure, absolutely. So my name is Sheba Swami, and I'm a licensed professional counselor and have a private practice in East Cobb, just north of Atlanta, and work with adults and women and men around all kinds of issues, but specialize in reproductive mental health through the whole process of trying to get pregnant, pregnancy, and then the postpartum period, to really offer support through that whole piece of it.
Okay. All right, Trisha.
And I also, I'm Trisha Ann Binder, and I also work in the Atlanta area and work with adults, couples, and groups. I work mostly with dealing with infertility, folks struggling with infertility on any, you know, part of their journey, and as well as the transition into parenthood.
Okay, awesome. So you guys started a organization. Yes. And so how did that organization get started?
Do you want to jump?
Sure. All right. So Sheba and I actually met in a consortium for mental health providers that specialize in working with infertility. And we hit it off pretty quickly, and we have the same interests, the same goals professionally, and really both kind of recognized in our own practices that there was a gap in services for patients and their partners and their families to really help them kind of understand what the infertility process is like, how to maintain intimacy, how to maintain support, and how to kind of manage the emotional psychological impact of infertility. And so while we both work with individuals and couples in our practices, our efforts in Atlanta Fertility Support Alliance is to do more psychoeducational outreach for the community to really understand what the process is.
Yeah, I was going to add, just I used to work with a lot of folks right before they're starting IVF. And so often I would hear folks say that they wish they had met me a year ago, right when they're first starting this process, when they're first struggling with it. Right.
Can you explain to our audience what IVF is?
Of course. It's in vitro fertilization, and it's the process of, it's one of the options when folks are trying to conceive and they're seeing a specialist. And I know we'll probably get into that more later.
Yes.
But it's usually kind of one of the final steps that folks are going into. And so just hearing that over and over and over again, it made me realize that this is something really important. Folks don't quite realize what they're going to be going through, like from the doctor's visits through all the emotional, relationship, social, all the different changes about being in this process. So we really wanted to just provide more education and support and let folks be more informed and empowered before they begin the process.
Okay. And so through you guys' experience, how have you seen the infertility impact couples in the sense of intimacy?
Well, it's been, I would say, both positive and negative.
Okay.
Positive in that many couples, when I've spoken to them about it, they talk about how going through the journey together, that they've become closer together. They are able to share in the shock, the grief, the trauma, the emotional experiences. And so they're getting bonded in a way that
they... they're communicating more.
Communicating more and working on one thing together.
Yeah, struggle.
Yeah, exactly. And they have this common goal.
Goal, right? Yes, so that's
a huge piece of it, the sharing in that. And I think being more vulnerable in a way that they're being challenged. They haven't probably haven't been... This is probably the hardest thing they're going through in their relationship.
Right, and they're having each other's back. Basically.
So when they're able to go through successfully and be vulnerable together and really share in that way, it's been a great bonding experience. And then on the other piece of intimacy in terms of the sexual piece of it and just the strain that can happen there, I think when it comes to trying to conceive, it becomes almost obligatory and perfunctory, and it can be a really difficult piece, I think, for a lot of couples, is how do they still maintain romance and desire and arousal, because the process can really kind of strip those things away and it becomes very biological and medical and scheduled. And so that's the other piece. I think folks kind of can go either way and maybe have a little bit of both even.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Would you add to that at all, or is there...
I think, you know, men and women, a huge generalization, oftentimes kind of manage the experience of infertility a little bit different. And so sometimes those differences can kind of stretch intimacy as well.
Okay.
So I think kind of coming to an understanding of how each one is managing the experience, how each one is grieving, and kind of maintaining connection through that is probably the best way to insulate intimacy.
Right. So it's just sometimes it, for each person, it's a little bit different.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so they have to learn how to bond together to get that back.
Yeah, and to know that they're going to handle it differently, you know, and be able to hear that and not feel, take things personally. That's, I think, the real challenge is one person might think about it all the time. Right. I want to talk about it all the time, and might perceive if the other one doesn't that that means they don't care as much. But to really talk through what that looks like for that other person.
Okay, great. Yeah. And so it seems like with your organization that you guys help normalize all these feelings that people may have during this journey.
Absolutely.
Yes. Well, I would like to thank you guys so much. We're going to go and take a little small break right now, and we'll be right back.
Feeling disconnected or alone? Trouble communicating or feeling understood? And do you want meaningful and purposeful relationships? And the desire to strengthen the bond in your relationships? Yes, then we have to intimately connect. The Bringing Intimacy Back show is a show dedicated to inspire, enlighten, and encourage intimate connections. The show provides an engaging atmosphere to discuss and demonstrate ways to enhance intimacy in one's personal relationships with significant others, families, friends, higher power, and oneself. The show will discuss intimate connections in many different forms, such as sex, communication, emotional, physical, health, and spiritual. Thus, if you want to discover ways to increase the intimacy in your relationship, check out the Bringing Intimacy Back show, where intimacy is real. For more information about the Bringing Intimacy Back show, go to www.bringingintimacyback.com.
Welcome back. We're at the Bringing Intimacy Back show, and today our topic that we're dealing with is helping couples who are going through that infertility journey increase their intimacy. And so, Tricia, as you were talking last about men and women and how they experience it a little bit different in the sense of their struggle and the intimacy, and yes, what have you guys seen in your organization?
Well, so again, this is a generalization, and obviously there are going to be differences in what I'm about to say, but oftentimes men in relationships tend to be kind of the fixers, and they want to be able to participate in a way that kind of solves the problem. And when there's not a fix, you know, potentially that they can participate in immediately, then oftentimes men will just kind of either withdraw or distract or kind of get involved in other things. Whereas, again, a generalization, women tend to want to emotionally process a little bit more and connect a little bit more. And also, even if there's a biological factor going on with the male partner, oftentimes the treatment for infertility will be going on with the woman's body. And so she's kind of carrying the medical burden for the couple. And so that has its own impact for women as well. And so neither one of their responses is wrong.
Right.
I think the importance in maintaining the intimacy is kind of understanding the other's perspective and finding a way to meet in the middle.
Okay. All right. And from you, what have you seen have been the emotional and psychological aspects?
It's a broad range for sure. I would say grief complicated grief is a big part of the psychological makeup of what people go through. There's a sense of loss of what their picture was going to be.
Right.
Getting married, having baby, family, and this nice arc changes dramatically. So I think there's a real loss in that. There can be a real loss in one's own sense of their body, themselves, what they're supposed to be doing as a woman, as a man, their role and how they see themselves. There can be a loss with their peer group. Everyone else is moving along and having families, and they may be hitting a bump in the road. And then I think there is the whole idea of psychological trauma related to this, because it's such a shock. It just completely can disrupt their sense of who they are, what they thought was going to happen, and not knowing, and loss of control. And that's a huge piece, I think, that we speak a lot about in our group and want to educate people about, because they're not supposed to know all of this.
Right.
And it is shocking, and it will take time to digest, and you're not supposed to have all the answers right away, and to really take that time to heal. So all of those factors, and of course, sadness, depression, anger, why me, a lot of that can come up. So there really is so much complexity excuse me, to it.
Okay.
That we try to share that with people and just kind of give them a heads up or picture that this is what it can look like. Not for everybody, but certainly for some.
Okay. So you mentioned groups. Do you guys provide the group format to maybe help the couple normalize it, but also get support that they're not the only ones?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, so in my practice, I have a group for women experiencing infertility. But what Shuba and I do together with the Atlanta Fertility Support Alliance is to go out to organizations, reproductive endocrinology clinics, and provide seminars and workshops for patients who are just starting out the process and kind of just starting to learn what assisted reproduction will look like, what the options are, how it could potentially impact them. So really our role together is to educate and, you know, and really help people enhance their own social support networks as they go through the process.
Okay. And so as couples are going through this journey, when should they think about getting professional help, like from you guys?
I think once it starts becoming consuming, a lot of times I hear from folks that they just stop feeling like themselves, their anxiety about things, their consuming thoughts around what's going to happen, next steps, over-researching on Google.
It consumes their life.
And they stop kind of living their life,
right?
They stop living. They're already a person with a full life before all this started, and they kind of lose sight and lose touch with all those other pieces. I think that's a place when the anxiety starts to get unmanageable and it starts to interfere with, again, with their daily functioning, their happiness.
Okay.
I think it certainly is a good time to reach out for support. Or even just between the couple, realizing how they're handling things differently. And struggling with, well, my partner doesn't want to talk about it all the time and I'm having a hard time with that. Then it's good to maybe have that outside perspective of some education, some information about what might be going on for him. How can we talk about this in a different way?
And so also, if we are, as friends or as family members, see a couple and we know that they're maybe struggling, how do you just, you know, instead of like not talking about it or just kind of avoiding them?
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, I think the impulse oftentimes for people who love someone who's going through something really complicated, grief, loss, is to kind of withdraw because we don't want to say the wrong thing. We don't know what to say. So the first thing that I would say, and Shuba has some great things that are, you know, both what to say and what not to say, but I think the first thing is to kind of remember that showing up, staying, you know, as, and making yourself available as a support system is really important. That you know, the couple may not take them up on it, but I think the experience of feeling people withdraw when they're going through something painful is often an added loss.
Absolutely. Well put. Yeah, there are some definitely good do's and don'ts, I think. Do be curious. Just say, like, I'm here for you. How is this for you? Is there anything I can do to help? Those sort of questions, and just keeping it open-ended, letting that person inform you, I think is really helpful. Things I've heard from clients over and over again that isn't helpful is don't say relax. Just relax, it'll happen. Or I know so-and-so went on vacation, and then it just happened. Or you should adopt. going through the adoption process.
I
know my daughter's coworker started going through that and then they got pregnant. Like, those are incredibly invalidating and annoying, and I think they raise anxiety because, mm-hmm. again, they feel further alienated
right.
from their supports.
It's like you're trying to fix their problem.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yes.
So, mm-hmm. Again, I think the idea of just really being curious and interested, but allowing that other, the client or the patient or the person who's going through it to really kind of say, like, this is what I need from you, and just checking in.
Okay.
How are you doing?
Right.
And just leaving it there.
I want to go back to one of the things that we were talking about a little bit. It's that emotional aspect, especially for women. What are some tips for women who are dealing with that emotional aspect? And maybe they're talking about it a lot and their husband doesn't quite want to talk about it, or maybe their girlfriend doesn't want to hear it. I mean, what do you?
Yeah. Well, I would add that it's never too early to get support.
Right.
Like, this is just even, you know, the experience of learning that there's potentially an infertility diagnosis.
Okay.
Those are incredibly impactful moments for anyone.
Right.
So I think it's never too early to reach out. And that can look like going on Resolve's website. Resolve is a national organization for infertility support.
Right.
Reaching out to a therapist who specializes in this, looking for support groups. Mm-hmm. I would say that the internet can be both a blessing and a curse.
Of course, you have to know where the information comes from. Yes,
there is some cohesion that comes in learning that other people are experiencing something like you are, but there's a lot of horror stories and there's a lot of misinformation and a lot of anecdotes that people kind of take to kind of fill the anxiety that's not necessarily helpful. So I always encourage women, couples, to really think about who is safe, who feels like it's soothing to talk to them, and seek those people out.
Yeah.
And if they don't have it in their natural support system, to go beyond that and to seek it out outside of their support system.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's interesting, and I'm glad you point out finding someone who's safe to talk to, because trying to talk to anyone can do more damage than good.
Yes,
absolutely.
Exactly.
Yes. Well, thank you guys so much for what you've been talking about. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a small break, and then we'll come back and we learn about some more tips.
Feeling disconnected or alone? Trouble communicating or feeling understood? And do you want meaningful and purposeful relationships? And the desire to strengthen the bond in your relationships? Yes, then we have to intimately connect. The Bringing Intimacy Back show is a show dedicated to inspire, enlighten, and encourage intimate connections. The show provides an engaging atmosphere to discuss and demonstrate ways to enhance intimacy in one's personal relationships with significant others, families, friends, higher power, and oneself. The show will discuss intimate connections in many different forms, such as sex, communication, emotional, physical, health, and spiritual. Thus, if you want to discover ways to increase the intimacy in your relationship, check out the Bringing Intimacy Back show, where intimacy is real. For more information about the Bringing Intimacy Back show, go to www.bringingintimacyback.com.
Welcome back. We're at the Bringing Intimacy Back. And today we've been talking about couples who are struggling with infertility and how to deal with the intimacy issue and how to increase intimacy. And so right now we're at the last part of our segment, which is our toolbox.
Okay.
And I'd love to give our audience members some tools on how to increase intimacy. And this one specifically is how to increase intimacy for those couples who are struggling with infertility issues.
Yeah. I think one of the things I always talk to folks about is how to reconnect with what first brought them together, what really attracted you to your partner, what has made you guys up until now, like, thrive and enjoy each other and have fun together. So whether it's travel or hiking or trying new restaurants, anything. It can be big or small, but trying big. I think folks get so myopically focused on this end goal and this objective of having a baby, they lose sight of how do they enjoy themselves and, you know, talking
they
even
no
with
longer
the holidays.
Have fun.
Exactly.
Yes.
Oh, I can imagine what the holidays be like with a baby. It'll be so much more fun. We'll do this and this. Well, how are you going to enjoy it now?
Right.
Like, what
Which
could you guys
the two of
do?
You.
Exactly, with the two of you. And what would be meaningful and creating experiences, creating connection on a daily basis, I think is so important. So I really encourage folks to just try and be curious and almost date each other again in that same way.
All right.
Yeah.
And I think just even add on to that, I always encourage couples to create some sort of tradition or ritual around certain parts of their cycle, whether it's, you know, on the day that they're going to take the pregnancy test.
That's an interesting aspect.
To have a plan for how you're going to respond, to kind of create some protection for one another, and to, you know, kind of mark that you're together, that you're partners, and that you're going to, you know, make it through together.
Right, because that gives the couple ownership, and also it puts them together in the sense of this is our special ceremony, our special little brand.
Right, so if it's going out to sushi the night that you get a negative pregnancy test because you wouldn't be able to have sushi while you're pregnant, or getting to have a glass of wine with dinner because you wouldn't be drinking if you were pregnant, or whatever it is that feels like, you know, kind of expanding into your life, even in moments of grief.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, I love that idea of finding the silver lining in something. Yes, definitely. Well, thank you guys so much for being on the show.
Of course.
If I have listeners out there who are struggling and they want to know more information or how to contact you guys, what's the best way?
So we have a website we're just still creating, but AtlantaFertilitySupportAlliance.com.
Okay.
And then through that, there's links to both of our informations in terms of our private practices and how to reach us. And we'll have a lot of resources posted on there as well.
Okay, so just through the website.
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right, awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for being on the show. And this was a great topic that we discussed. And I will, as the show Bringing Intimacy Back, we will also be continuing to provide more information on how to intimately connect in a variety of different ways. Thank you so much.